current that's going on, and I'd like to show you God's viewpoint of what's happening. I ask the question, can mankind survive without God? We see all the time around us, they're kicking God out of school. They don't want him in the courts. They don't want him anywhere in our lands, it seems like. But what's going to happen if our world continues on a course like this? Can we survive? They're going against cherished truths that are found in the Bible. They're just throwing it all aside as if it doesn't matter. The Supreme Court ruled against God. That's what I want to talk about. In America, our political and even judicial leaders are often looking for guidance every place except God's Word. And they're not able to find solutions. They don't know why. You know, we claim to be a Christian nation. I remember Mr. Obama saying, we're no longer a Christian nation. Maybe some of you heard him make that statement. I was a little shocked at the time. I thought, well, how could he say that? But Jesus Christ said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? If you won't do what God says, how could you call him your Lord? Well, you can't really. That's not possible. We have it in God we trust on our bills and our coins, and I'm surprised they haven't taken them off yet. Maybe it costs too much to redo it. I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me if something like that were to happen. Instead of obeying God, rebellious human beings seem to even more be more and more playing God themselves. They're taking themselves the judgment of what's right and wrong. Where did that come from? Back in the Garden of Eden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man is deciding for himself. Yes, Dan?
Many years ago, a rock band called the Beatles, they claimed to be more popular than God.
I remember that.
That's
yes. Yes. Now, today, I don't know if it would even bat an eye, but that's true. We're getting further and further away from God as a nation. The Bible itself tells us through Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, that man shall not live by bread alone. You can't live by bread alone. It might sustain you physically, but it won't give you life. It won't give you life. In Luke chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible often refers to the scriptures as the mind of God in print. Mr. Armstrong used to say, the Word of God is the written Word. Jesus Christ was the living Word. So when you hold that, you're holding God in your hand, so to speak. There's a way that seems right to a man. Proverbs 16, verse 25. You needn't turn there, but you can write that down. It's also in another place besides that, but just for to write down, there's a way that seems right. You know, it seems so good. Just like that tree of life that Eve took of that fruit of it. It seemed right, but God says don't do that. So mankind seems like doesn't want to listen to God. They don't want to turn to God when there's problems. It's a big picture principle in the way God thinks. The Bible is. That's his mind, so to speak. And the more we absorb of the Word of God, the more of God's mind we have. It has the answers to every problem. It has the answers to all of our problems. So it's the way Jesus Christ told us to live, by every word of God. Now the Supreme Court has overturned a millennia of history. It goes way, way back. They've just thrown that all away by this ruling they made. The discussion of the same-sex marriage issue recently before the Supreme Court, and one of the justices made this comment. I don't know which one it was, but he began his comment by discussing the rituals of the Kalahari people in Africa. They were a tribe descended from that lineage. And he says, they who never recognized same-sex unions as a form of marriage. Even they didn't. His point was that marriage had until recently always been tied to childbearing. This definition has been with us for millennia. He told Mary Bonotto, the attorney for same-sex couples. That's what this Supreme Justice told her. And he made this statement. It's very difficult for the court to say, oh, well, we know better than God. But apparently the others didn't think it was difficult. This was in Time Magazine, May the 11th, 2015, that comment. And it was in Time Magazine. But that's exactly what the Supreme Court has done, essentially. They have tried to overrule some 6,000 years of human history by that ruling. They overruled the whole concept of marriage and childbearing and rearing families. That's why God made male and female. He's recreating him himself, but that's the furthest thing in the world from people understanding. They couldn't even believe that. He's trying to overrule the Supreme Court of heaven. God's the one that makes the ruling, not man. Why do they refuse to consult the one who instituted marriage in the first place? Almighty God's the one that did it. Why won't they consult the Bible, the inspired word, the one that the true God? They won't do it. They use their own reasoning. Why is the Bible always the last thing they go turn to? Usually, mankind will try everything in the world until they're, as you say, caught between a rock and a hard place, and then they cry out to God. That's why our nation is coming down, because they won't listen. God doesn't want to punish our nation or the Israelite nations, but if they won't listen, we're headed down the road to destruction. That's where we're headed. So what happened in the Bible? Many of you realize the Bible has been under an assault for years. It's been under assault for decades now by the liberals, the communists, and the secularists, humanists. They've squirmed their way into leadership positions of the mainstream Protestant churches and even the seminaries. Or you might call them cemeteries. They're teaching false truth. Falsehood. They're not truth. They're teaching, not teaching God's way. Even in our government, they're going down the wrong path. They bring the concept that you cannot be sure what the Bible actually says. Even professors, they say there's no absolutes. They teach that. No absolutes. They say you cannot be sure the manuscript of the Bible is based on God's inspired word. If you don't even believe there is a God, how could you believe his word? You say you cannot be sure of this or that. They say it's just human reasoning. Let human reasoning decide. And that's the path we're going down. It's the concept of the secularist approach. That's what they're doing. Of people, and they don't have the fear of God or any deep respect for God's word. They just don't respect what God says. They don't believe God. If you think about this, what has always happened to any nation that has turned away from God and God's laws over time? God's patience takes time. Many historians recognize ancient Greece, which permitted homosexuality and other abominable practices to exist. They went down the tubes, so to speak. As a result of this moral decay, which led to further decay, you head down that road and there just seems like a sled going down a steep slope and you can't stop it. So they were no longer a power in you know, they lost their world power. And they lost their example to other nations. The children of Israel were to be a good example to the world. They were to live godly. That was, in the scriptures where it says, blessed is the nation that has God so near to them. You know, he's there. He would fight our battles. We wouldn't be having these problems if we were following God and trying to obey him. They recognized the same thing about Rome and the various areas of the Roman Empire. They had standards of morality starting out. And they corresponded many times to God's statutes and laws. In many of those areas, God blessed them. You're blessed for what you do, what you obey. Certainly, though, the more that the Roman leadership and philosophers took an increasingly vile practices of violence and murder and sexual perversion, the further down they went down that road to destruction. The empire descended, leading to the eventual fall of Rome in 476 A.D. They self-destruct. Let's turn, if you would, over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I'd like to describe here about professing wise men and philosophers of his day. Paul's talking about that. Here's what Paul states in Romans 1, verse 24. He says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And he worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen, he said. Now, if you read on here, it says, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions. Even their women exchanged the natural use for that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Isn't that what we see happening? It's happening. You can't even watch a television commercial but what they have two gays or whatever. And when you see two women walking down the street, they're holding hands. Maybe they're sisters, but not likely. You know, I mean, it's just, that's the way it is. That's the way it's going. And also he says, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. That's what we see going on. That's just, God nailed it right down, or Paul did through God's inspiration. Also, let's go over it. If you will, let's turn back to Jeremiah. I'd like to hear what Jeremiah has to say here. Jeremiah chapter 8. Mankind's rebellious ways lead to confusion and eventually destruction. That's headed down that road. In Jeremiah 8 and verse 7. Here's what we know, God's ways work, but he says this is the inspired word of God, and he tells us very clearly. He says, even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift and the swallow observe their time, the time of their coming. In other words, they know when it's time to migrate, to go south. The winters are getting cold. Some of the geese we have around here aren't too smart now. They stay around here. I think a lot of that may be because farmers don't till the ground, turn it upside down, so there's still food there for them. And if we have mild enough winters, they stay. But in fact, Grace and I, every once in a while, we come into church, we see some, I don't know if they're swans or white geese, but it's a pretty sight when you look out across the field. You can see them there, and there's several over around the Peabody lakes and stuff over here. We see them every once in a while, every year we wonder, are they back yet? So, you know, but they know when it's time to come. But he says, my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. How can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? If you look, it says, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. Now, they've made many copies of the law, the book of the law, the scribes had. But he says, they certainly work falsehood. The wise men are ashamed and they are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? If you reject God's word, where are you going to get wisdom? Well, the way that seemed right to a man. That's where they turn to. Therefore, he says, I will give their wives to others and their fields to those who inherit them. Because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. For they have healed the hurt of my daughter and of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. We hear that in other ways. We're hearing that the economy is good. It's picking up. Unemployment is down. Peace, peace. Good times. Now, biblical scholars teach us in the scripture passages where it states that these false teachers have healed God's people slightly. In other words, the economy, you know, keep spending your money. Is going to collapse otherwise. If we go back into a lot worse situation than we were back in 2008. This word actually means superficially. Sometimes the mainstream ministers are often sincere do-gooders. They intend to do good. I don't think they deliberately try to steer people wrong, but they don't really know. But they do temporarily help. But their human solution is only superficial. If you don't get to the root of the problem, you're not going to correct the problem. The problem is spiritual, not physical. The fact that humans must actually do what God says and follow the Bible and human reasoning. There's a way that seems right to a man. As I said, it ends in death. It seems right. You know, it sounds good. It seems right. But God says it ends in death. He also said that in Proverbs 16:25, Proverbs 14:12, one I just quoted. Now, if you will, let's go back to Leviticus. Get back to where God really gets down to the root of the problem. Leviticus 26 and verse 14, Almighty God told the forefathers in ancient Israel these things. He says in verse 14, if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments so that you do not perform all my commandments but break my commandment, I will also do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you. We see terrorists. More terrorists coming in. There's even one just happened in Canada. I think just yesterday or just recently. Which I haven't been hearing much about Canada, but that's God says, I will appoint terror over you. So we can expect maybe more of that happening. Wasting disease, he says, and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. You shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemies will eat it. In other words, God's removing his blessing. He's taking it away. We had a little bit of that just 2 or 3 years ago. We had that drought. Maybe it's been longer, time gets by, but that was just kind of a little foretaste right through here. This is the breadbasket of the world here, actually. He says, I'll set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues. When God turns his back on a nation, they perish. He says, your enemy will defeat you, those that hate you. Well, we've got plenty of haters. Iran and ISIS, I mean, they're just, the list goes on. You don't know who your enemy is. And they're letting a lot of the ones that are trying to escape persecution in their own country in, and you don't know who's for you and who's against you. I think it's good that we do, but I think we need to be cautious, careful. As Americans turn further and further away from God, we did have the experience of 9/11 not too long ago. It's been a while, but they took down the Twin Towers. They'd tried to do that before, you remember? They tried to put a bomb inside the parking area underneath. It was built a lot better than they thought, I guess. But they destroyed that structure and was breached through terrorism. And because of what happened in these early stages of the homosexual movement, we've had a tremendous increase in Wasting's disease. I thought, well, what's that all about? And fever, increasing incidence of AIDS, which is one of the most horrible, debilitating diseases affecting the world. You know, we had Ebola. That could have really gotten out of hand really quickly. So diseases are able to be transported from one nation to another just in one day's time. If someone's infected, they get on an airplane, you're breathing the air and sneeze and cough. They don't disinfect it. It just circulates through the plane. But at any rate, there's another one out too. You've probably heard of the Zika virus in Brazil. Little children are getting at that. These mosquitoes that carry this virus, they also carry dengue fever. And there's others besides that they carry. And it's starting to move in other areas now. What the main thing they were noticing about it, that children, women that were pregnant, when they had the child born, their heads were very small. They didn't have proper growth, so it was affecting them that way. And some died. There's been several died. So that maybe is just the start of it. But these diseases are going to be affecting the entire world. Because of these things, our nation is going to experience the punishment described here in Leviticus 26. God is no respecter of persons. You know, we could sigh and cry because of what we see happening to our nation, and it's just starting. It's getting worse. If we're not careful, we can just think, well, that's just the way it is, but you put a frog in water and start cooking him, he'll just sit right there until it's too late. And that's why we need to make God's truth known, and the ones that God will call, the ones that will listen, they can come out of this society. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. The Bible makes it very clear the opinion of the Creator God about same-sex marriage. Many other issues are also, and in answering this question about the right of people to divorce each other, Jesus Christ answered. And in Matthew 19 and verse 4, Matthew 19 verse 4, he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate. This entire reason for marriage was the Creator God. He's established it. He made us male and female so that we could have a family and have children. Homosexual couples can't reproduce children by themselves. I hope they figure that out someday. You know, if a nation, if that's all you had in the whole nation, that nation would soon die off after about 75, 80 years. There wouldn't be anybody left. I don't know if I should mention it, but I grew up on a farm, and if you had animals that would act like that, you wouldn't have any cat or anything else. I mean, they'd just be. What would you do to somebody like an animal? Like, you'd shoot it. Crazy thing. I look at it in that same way. I think, well, Satan sure has his ways. He's powerful. He has a tremendous influence. What's God's purpose for marriage? At the very beginning, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 8. If you'd like, you can turn there. I'll just read it for you. I'll try and read it correctly. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." At first, God created only the man. And then afterwards, he said, "And the Lord said, it's not good that a man should be alone. I'll make for him a helper comparable to him." In other words, a helpmate, one that can fulfill, balance out his life, because a man by himself is incomplete. So the woman was created to be a helper for the man, to be his companion, to enlarge his horizons physically, mentally, and emotionally. Obviously, when you look at the big picture, you'll see this helpmate is what makes possible the creation of the entire family structure. God calls himself Father in the New Testament. He intends to build his family and make us full sons. We learn this through the institution of the family unit, the family, human family. Men and women learn to submit to one another, forgive each other, care for each other, and to love each other in a special way. The Bible tells us in a number of ways, pictures the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. That's the relationship. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go to that scripture and like turn to that one. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse. I'd like to pick it up here in verse 22. God's inspired word tells us this. Ephesians 5, verse 22 through 25. He says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." You see, mankind by himself would be selfish. He wouldn't learn how to share and how to give and be loving and caring. It would just be all turned inward, one way. If two men marry each other, which one's going to bear the children? Will one pretend to bring the feminine qualities into that relationship? Or will they admit there is no masculine, feminine partnership or bond in their marriage? What about if they adopt children? Will those children ever have the example of a man being a man or a woman being a woman? You can see the results in a lot of the ghetto areas where there's only one partner. they don't have a balanced relationship. They don't know. They just don't know what it would be like. So already in marriages between men and women, Satan has launched an attack on the very idea of a husband and wife. He's attacking the family of God. He wants to destroy the human family so that they can't be in God's family. With each distinct gender role, the duties to complement one another in a family relationship can't exist. It takes both. God said it's not good for the man to be alone. The same thing could be said of a woman. It's not good. Now, with the same-sex marriage, it is as if everything is up for grabs. You just, you know, whatever suits you. Can any long-term relationship come from the rebellion against this long-standing social and biological reality? Well, the answer is no, it cannot happen. It just can't happen. The fruits are bad, and we're beginning to see that. For all the lesson of marriage, a building of a family together in natural love and submitting to one another in the various roles that God has intended, all of this is lost in the strange relationship people are trying to imagine as marriage is now. All that's lost between two people of the same sex. It takes both minds to have balance. This is truly perverting the entire purpose of God, making us male and female in the first place. That's what it's actually doing. Over the decades to come, if we allow this structure of the normal family to occur, it would tear to pieces our society when it's practiced. That, of course, is one reason that Jesus Christ came back to this earth to save mankind. I don't know how bad it must have been back before the flood, but it must have been horrible that God thought he was sorry that he even made man. Is it starting to come to that? Thank God for Jesus Christ that He won't destroy the earth without giving every person a chance to be in God's family. That's His overall goal. Forever, you'll be in God's family. I go right along with Dan. I think this is the most loving, friendly congregation I've ever met. And that's the way we'll be in God's family. Wanting to do for everyone. Just enjoy coming and being around God's people. Because the more of God's Spirit you're around, the more encouraging and uplifting, and it builds you up. Even though you may come to church with a really heavy heart, maybe something serious going on, but if you're around God's people and they're encouraging to you, it uplifts you. Makes things much better. So Jesus Christ, He has to come back to this earth to save mankind. So the more we're now on the verge of sex change operations being performed so human beings can try something that they're not and not what they intend to be. Think about Bruce Jenner. You remember him? He was a tremendous athlete. I'm thinking, how could that happen? But it did. Even the very idea of gender is under attack and it's being confused. And misguided people think they can decide for themselves. Well, today I'd like to be a man. Tomorrow I'll be something else. It's just hard to imagine, isn't that? Hard to imagine. So if you think same-sex marriage is the last of it, you will have to think again. As we, particularly in American British nation, and the Israelite nations, to turn away from God and His Word, degrading ourselves by going along wholesale with polygamy, with polandry, which is more than two partners, and finally group marriages, then no doubt bestiality. I mean, they tried everything else. How bad? It must have been horrible back during Moses' time. Thankfully, God won't allow it to continue forever. So he's not done for thousands of years. He's going to start intervening. It's been a long time since he has. But when he comes back, he's going to come back in power and authority. For we really are at the very time of the end, foretold in numerous places in the Bible. And the more you read, the more you watch the news, the more you observe what's going on, the more you can see that. It's not creeping up on us. He says he'll come back like a thief in the night. How's the thief come? They come when you least expect it. People are unaware. Unemployment's down. Economy's picking up. Yeah, right. We're having troubles all over the world. The more than ever, it seems that Satan wants to confuse mankind and blot out the very human family relationship. The same relationship which our Father has predicted as actual sons of God and of the Father into the family of true Christians and destined to be. So that was Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, tells us that. Also Ephesians 1, verse 5, talks about actually being the family of God, true Christians, destined to be resurrected. True Christians will become real sons of God, the God kind. I remember Mr. Armstrong making the comment. He said when he first saw that, he thought, well, that can't really be. We can't really become God. But that's exactly what the Bible tells us. Not just some other kind. We're going to be God's children, born of God, as I've said before, with God's DNA. An adopted person doesn't have the DNA of their parents. But we're going to be just like God. We're not going to be like some sheep or goat or come back as some of these crazy people incarnated. They think they come back with, who knows, they just go way off. Some of them think they've lived thousands of years ago and they just keep dying and coming up something else, something new. But this is what the Bible teaches. Satan wants us to forget or even deny that God is creating sons of his own. Spirit-born children, just like Jesus Christ, the firstborn of many. So there's still many more going to come. Be just like Jesus Christ, an actual spirit-born son of God. Hosea chapter 4, let's go back there. Hosea chapter 4. And I like to read in verse 6. This is specifically speaking to the ancestors of today's American British descended people. In verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6, God says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." The knowledge is there, but they have a lack of it. He says, "Because you have rejected knowledge, I'll also reject you from being priests for me." We're to be priests and kings. But if you reject that knowledge, he says, "I will reject you from being priests for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God." He says, "I'll also forget your children." So we don't want God to forget our children. We want our children. Our children have the very same, they have a much better opportunity to learn God's truth than we did. As Dan spoke out there, I thought that was really good. I, I remember, I probably said this before, that I went to Spokesman's Club with a man that was born, raised in the truth, and he didn't know anything different. And I was telling him how excited I was dancing, was saying, learning. I would follow Grace around the kitchen with my Bible and a correspondence course. She thought, I know she must have thought I'd lost it, but when you're hot, you're hot, you know? You want to know more if it was that important. And so God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they've rejected knowledge. They didn't want to learn. They didn't want to obey. He says, I'll also reject you from being a priest for me because you've forgotten the law of your God. I'll also forget your children. We want our children to be with us. If we have to go through the tribulation even, that's better than being lost forever. The Laodiceans are God's, they're God's children. But he says some of them, they have to go through the fire, through the trial to be made white and to be refined because God won't accept you unless you're wholehearted. You have to have your whole heart in it. He says, because our people have not been taught the law of our Creator, they have turned aside into every form of perversion. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that more and more. Pornography is a terrible thing on the internet. You're sitting right there at your own home and in your own computer. It can be a real problem even in God's church because it's so easy. Who would know? God knows. You know. The ministers of this world have not taught them the deep respect they should have for God and for His Ten Commandments, or great laws, ten great laws. God's true ministers constantly explain, expound, and reinforce the concept that God of truly obeying the Ten Commandments and living by every word of God. It's the mind of God. If you don't think like God, that's why He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, our thoughts should be His thoughts. His thoughts ought to be ours. We need to become more and more like Him. That's how you're growing up in the fullness and the stature of Jesus Christ. You have to get more and more of the mind of God. Even Paul says, I think I have the mind of God. He did. God's spirit and mind was working in him mightily. So we can do that through the indwelling of God's Spirit if we use it and allow God's Spirit to work with us. God's Spirit doesn't scream in your ear, say, like maybe we'll do that in the millennium. When people start doing wrong, we're not going to be hidden in a corner. It says they're going to see their teachers, and that's you and I. Hopefully, we'll be there to be able to guide them. We won't have to be hidden in a corner, as it says. So the Holy Spirit lets us develop the very mind of God in all that we think. That's why we're to bring every thought into captivity. If it's not a godly thought, get rid of it. Jesus Christ had to do the same thing. He's not asking us to do more than what He went through. But we have the Holy Spirit to help us if we'll ask Him. Satan wants each of us to think that we know better than God does, the God that created us. So falling for the snares, humankind is trying to play God in defiance of the Creator, the God of the Bible. They're kicking God out, as I said, out of the schools, out of the government, out of the churches, even. This is the way leading to world destruction, the dashing of hopes and joy for human beings, the destruction of any society that permits this, and the ultimate destruction of the universe, actually, any place where this is going on, if it were to continue. if mankind were allowed to continue on its own course, it would just, God would have to destroy it. He did that once. He'd have to do it if they were unwilling. So the last scripture I'd like to turn to here before I conclude, there I'll mention a couple others, but is Proverbs chapter 14:12. You needn't turn there. I just quoted it, but God tells us very clearly, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Our own hearts deceive us. So, don't need Satan to do it. It says our own hearts do it. So that's why we have to have God's Spirit and stay close to God. So God to guide us. David said, lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We need to ask God to do that. Because we don't know. We think we know, but our hearts deceive. We still have that same heart that we were baptized with. Only we're beginning to have the mind of God. And hopefully, the longer God allows us to go, the more of God's mind we'll have. So to conclude, we need to pray to God to help our nation see the lawlessness that's growing worse with each passing day and start to study God's Word and to learn to feed on Christ. They don't fear God. They don't fear God now, but how much destruction or lawlessness does God have to allow before people wake up? Well, apparently a lot. Apparently a lot. In John 6:57 says, you feed on Christ. Feed on Christ. Then we'll be able to fulfill the purpose for which God created us in the first place. May God help our nation to wake up, to come out of this modern Babylon, as it says in Revelation 18:4. Come out from among them, that you won't be partakers of their sins. Because if you don't, you're going to partake of the tribulation. And it's to fulfill the purpose for which God created every human being made in His own image. He wants all the Israelite nations to be in His family. But it's going to take some really serious difficulties that come along before we wake up. And hopefully, it's not too late.